Five, four, three, two, one. Yeehaw, Bill Burr.
What's going on?
You're looking very slick. You look like a professional man.
I was doing television this morning. As I mentioned to you, I just did Colin Cowherd's show, and I run out of button-down shirts that I could wear on TV. Because I always go button-down jeans and whatever, nice pair of shoes. I'm not a sport coat guy, but I was just like, I had to like go back and Google image myself on the show going, what did I wear last time? I couldn't tell what black shirt I had on. It's like, oh, God, I got to throw a sport coat on. So I'm sure I'll get trashed for that. Like, what are you all, Hollywood now, man? Trying to look good? So, yeah, that's why I'm dressed up here. I'm the best dressed man in podcasting today.
You are right now, for sure, at this moment. I'm amazed that you actually looked to check to see if you were wearing the same shirt.
Yeah.
Why? Did you do that for yourself? No, because of the internet.
It's just the internet is nonstop shit. It's like, why help him out? I mean, it's like, if you're going to trash me, it's like, I'm going to make you work for it. I'm not going to give you the layup.
Well, it's such a mild trashing. I mean, it's coming from me. I dress like a fucking idiot.
You know? No, I mean, it just is what it is. It's just like, for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know. I get a kick out of doing stuff like that. Like, which way are they going to come at me today? Just make them better at it.
Oh, I see.
Because I don't want to do the, you're bald-headed, blah, blah, blah. It's like every fucking day. But to get somebody to come at you in a, thank you, to get you in a unique way. If they get me in a unique way, it actually makes me laugh, and then there's entertainment for me. But if it's the same old tired shit, I don't know.
They get me lately for my socks. I didn't know that you're not supposed to have socks that kind of cover your ankles. Like, these are acceptable. These socks are acceptable socks. See that? Because they're kind of tucked away.
Dude, those were women's socks when we were kids.
Yes.
And they had a little ball on, little bunny rabbit tail on the end. They were the Chris Everts.
What happened? Remember, you used to have calf-high socks. Those were the shit.
Calf-high socks and your shorts barely covered your junk. That was it.
Exactly. Now everybody's shorts go down their knees and their socks are non-existent.
Yeah, but the shorts are coming back up and I don't like that.
You don't like it?
No, there's been a lot of that. And then there's that's the anti-man who's so comfortable with his masculinity. You know those hipster douchebags? So they're like literally wearing like the old running shorts with the slit going up the side, like Macho Camacho.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who the fuck's wearing those?
Not a bunch, but I've just seen enough. And you just look at the whole thing. It's like they literally look like they're going to go do some Ron Burgundy sketch or something. But it's how they walk around and they act like, oh, no, I like these shorts.
I put a picture of my sneakers and my socks on Instagram the other day, which is not a smart move anyway. Like, why did I even do that? I just went running for 3 miles and my sneakers and socks were covered with dirt. But the amount of people that just shit on my socks, it's like...
What's wrong if they cover your ankles?
That's it. What's wrong with those socks? I don't know, but...
I don't know,
fucking...
but there is something wrong with them. I can't put my finger on it.
It's that ribbing.
I don't like them either.
It's that ribbing around the
you ribbing's
know,
the
it's,
issue?
It's the, yeah, it ribbed for her pleasure at the top, and then, like, your sneakers, too. Like, you know, if you're going to go running dirt, like, those are the ones that do it. They look very, like, artsy, though. That looks like some shit my wife would appreciate if it was on a canvas, you know?
The socks?
No, the design on your sneakers.
On the sneaker?
You know that modern art thing?
Yeah.
The lines go this way, and then they go that way, much like life. And then they intersect, you know, that type of shit. And it's just like, why don't you just draw a house?
Do you ever go to LACMA, the L.A. County Museum? Oh, don't go. You'll go crazy.
No, I don't. I think the most important, I would enjoy the tram ride up. Like, this is fun. This is cool. I feel like I'm in an amusement park.
It'll infuriate you.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, chicly dressed older women with, like, ridiculously weird glasses. Like, the color of the frames is always some, you know, some statement. You know what I mean? Some splash of color to let you know that they have a personality.
Yeah, and the lenses are huge.
I'm probably just intimidated.
No, you're not intimidated. It's nonsense. I went there, we've talked about this before, but there was a box, like a plexiglass box on the ground. That's it, an amber plexiglass box. And I thought it was like some sort of a, like maybe a stand, and then like the exhibits going in on. Nope. The box was the art. That's it.
Right.
Nothing in it.
Every art form has that. Every art form has their plastic box. Like, no, this is stand-up.
There it is right
this
there.
This is a stand-up comedy
Look
special.
At that.
Oh, well, it's kind of amber, a little
nope.
like
I mean, I guess.
The Vista Light.
I guess, but it's just a fucking box. I mean, it looks like something you would go get at Crate and Barrel.
I could build that.
You easily could build that.
You give me some glue, and you give me the pieces.
Meanwhile, it's probably worth $30,000.
I know. And it's just like, I would literally put my feet on that in a second.
You should.
Do you know, you got this book in front of me here, Dear Reader, Kim Jong-il. He looks like the kind of person you'd run into in a museum if he had like sexier glasses. That lunatic will probably somehow hear this and actually go out and get some. You know, that he's skinned
off
of a
dog. He's dead.
That's not his son?
No, that's the dad.
What's his son's name?
Kim Jong-un.
Oh. Well, it's definitely his kid. They look just alike.
Did you see
Dude,
that?
Dude, they are chowing. How many dumplings do they have a fucking day? Everybody else in the country's fucking emaciated, looking like they just finished the Tour de France. These guys are walking around.
Plump.
Yeah, like they're on their sixth kid.
Yeah.
Dad bod.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better, if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of the year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/JRE. That's LifeLock.com/JRE to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here. Tap the banner to learn more.
They're so smooth and hairless, too. They're just fucking creepy. I love them.
Did you see that? What's that guy's name? Basquiat? How do you say that guy's name? Basquiat? Yeah. That Basquiat painting that went for $110 million?
No, it
wanna
didn't.
See, yes, it did. You want to see what $110 million buys you? Want to get grossed out? This Japanese gentleman who bought it is some super billionaire character who apparently has another one that he spent 50-something billion or million on.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's when you're like eating endangered species for breakfast.
Look at that stupid fucking painting. That's $110 million.
I mean, that looks like some shit I drew when I was a kid, and my parents put it on the refrigerator. Like, yeah, that's great. There should be like notebook, like you know that confetti that hangs off the side.
Yeah, what's with the tic tac toe on his head too? What's that about? It's got tic-tac-toe on his head.
Hey, Joe, it's whatever you want it to mean, man. It's art. It's up to your own interpretation. I like the blue. I always found blue to be soothing. The guy looks a little disturbed.
Look at
was
the
that
left
him
corner.
Trying to find his place within the blue skies of white America?
It's like the left corner.
Is that what
it's
it
like
is?
He was a little kid and he fucked up and he just scratched over it, like the A and the B, but he made the B backwards and went shit. And so he just scratched over it and just left it there. Like, look at that. What is that?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, $110 million. That's what it is.
And there you go. That's LACMA right there. They would kill to have that piece hanging in there.
Oh,
and there would be all kinds of women with weird glasses riding that tram up there to go look at it, rub their chins.
With their gay friends. Look at him. Look at that guy. Lost bastard.
No, he's killing it, dude.
You think so?
Yeah. Look at him. He's in great shape.
Look at that haircut.
No, definitely no conditioner, huh?
No.
I can't tell if his hair's just starting to go gray. Yeah, but isn't that like a billionaire genius? Like you're so good at business that you forget to put conditioner in your hair.
Yeah.
And you get like sleep coming out of your eye. And
like there's Bill
just
Gates.
Some hottie just like fucking hoses you off in the morning. Just wear this. I can't. Just keep thinking.
There was a video that I watched the other day of Elon Musk from 1998 when he was first becoming a billionaire. And he bought $1 million car, and he had his $1 million car delivered with his girlfriend at the time, who he got rid of.
I was going to say at the same time, and you are my girlfriend. Put her in the trunk.
But it's so funny to see him as this young dork who's, you know, just making shit tons of money, and his hair's all goofy, and he has this $1 million car delivered.
Who's this?
Elon Musk, the guy who owns Tesla.
Tesla. Okay.
Did you see what he's doing now? But the video's hilarious. Have you seen what he's doing now? The Boring Company? Do you know what that is?
Where they make like electric jets or something?
No, they're boring holes underneath Los Angeles. He's going to bore these earthquake-proof tunnels, and they're going to put sleds on these tunnels that go 125 miles an hour. So you drive onto the sled, it locks you in, and it shoots you from like downtown LA to wherever the fuck you're going in, you know, is this it, yeah. Jamie? So this is how it works. You drive onto this sled, and it drops you
Dude,
down.
This guy just gets it.
Look at this. It drops you down below the surface of the earth.
Now, what are these? Oh, those other
these
sleds.
These are sleds. So your car is
that
in
is
this sled.
Fucking amazing. I want that to happen.
It's going to happen. This crazy fucker, he's going to make it. And these sleds, I mean, you can't crash into anybody, so they can go stupid fast. So they're going 125 miles an hour.
Now. They're created by men. So at some point, somebody's going to not tighten something down.
Well, those Teslas don't have the best service like record as far as or reliability record. Sam Harris has broke down twice already. And I know another guy who got one and the handle stopped coming out. Like, you know, you go near it and the handle comes out.
You got to break into your own electric car.
But look at this. Another guy gets to get in there. There's going to be a line, traffic jam to get onto these fucking things. But look at this passageway system that he's devising. This is going to be crazy. There's going to be these passageways all throughout the bottom of the earth. So underneath the surface of Los Angeles will be all these streets. But of course it's going to cave in, right? It's got to somehow compromise the structure of the city, right? All those buildings sitting on top of it?
I don't know. If anybody can figure it out, I think that's beyond my
your pay
my
grade.
Background. You know, what's even more amazing than that is that Japanese billionaire looked like the Japanese Charles Bronson. If you go back, I love Charles Bronson.
He does a little bit.
He does. He looks tough,
like Charles Bronson in The Mechanic, like that one.
I've seen all of his fucking movies. I love all that. I've even watched his cologne ad that he did over there.
He did a cologne ad.
Oh yeah.
Where did he do
saw,
it?
He saw the. You saw the softer side of him. Oh, yeah. He was like taking his shirt off. He was spinning around this
really?
Apartment. Yeah, it was very not man. Charles Bronson. That's back when stars would do. For some reason, only in this country, it hurt your career if you did a commercial, but you could always overseas, you know, do something like that. You could just.
It used to hurt their career, but it doesn't seem to anymore.
Like no, now, not only does it not. Now it's like a move. Now it's like, why aren't you just going up vacuuming up this cash.
Yeah. Like now, Matthew McConaughey, look at him.
Look at that. I'm telling you, I nailed
it. He does.
He's got a Charles Bronson. He's got to work on the hair, though. He's got the fucking mustache.
He's a little too humble with his smile. He needs to be a little more solemn. Just accept the fact you're a baller billionaire who pays $110 for a stupid painting.
He does, you know what, going back to it, he does look a little lost. Or maybe he just doesn't like his picture taken. I'm always looking to give somebody the benefit of the fucking doubt here.
Or maybe he's realizing that he just spent $110 million on a stupid fucking painting. And he's like, what? Wait
what did it sell for the last time?
I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. That's a good question.
I wonder what he saw in it.
See if you can find that commercial, the Charles Bronson cologne commercial. I want to see that. It's got to be online.
Why would you tell people that you bought that and then that's in your house? Like,
right.
Did nobody learn anything from the fucking Kardashians? Look at all the jewelry I got. Next thing you know, yeah. You're face down with a fucking gun to the back of your head. You got to watch out with that. This guy's fucking, he's got 110, that was like $1 million ring. He's got like a $110 million piece of art.
Well, the crazy thing about the Kardashian thing was that it was in Paris and she brought security with her. She had security with her. And they figured out how to get past security.
Yeah, but everything's better in Europe. Isn't that what everybody says? You know? The criminals are better than our security. I'm
joking. So there's Charles Bronson. Oh, this is Charles Bronson late in his life, too. This is like Death Wish Charles Bronson.
Yeah, Paul Kersey.
All the world, love is a lover. All the world.
Yeah. It's like a mini movie.
Really?
Yes.
What was this for? What country?
Somewhere like in Japan.
Really?
Yeah. Good night, Mr. Bronson. He definitely didn't do it here.
What a weird drive, the guy at the gate. Good night, Mr. Bronson. Sleep tight.
Now
he's driving off.
Drives like a man. Now all of a sudden, it gets, here we go.
Oh, wow.
It gets strange. A little weird.
He gets a pipe out.
Shirt's coming off.
What in the fuck is this?
This is a man getting paid.
He's got his pipe on and his shirt off, and he's by himself.
Yeah, but you realize how jacked this guy was?
Oh, yeah.
For back then?
Not only that, he was probably like 60 at the time. Like, Charles Bronson, I believe, when
you watching him, the Tarantino shit here with him shooting guns and stuff?
This is late in his career, too. I'm telling you, he might have been 60 here. Because when he was in Hard Times, he was 50.
Mandem.
That's
beyond. That's the kingdom of a man, what he's putting on him there. Mandem.
1976, it says? Find out when Hard Times was. Oh, Japanese.
There you go.
Mandem.
Mandem. And that works over there.
Hard Times was what, 75? So he was 51 when he did that. Wow.
Yeah, jacked.
In the range. Yeah, well, look at him in Hard Times. He was fucking ripped.
I bet they sold a ton of that.
Look at that. That's a 50-year-old man. No HGH, no testosterone. Just fucking push-ups, sit-ups, and drinking milk.
He grew up in a... Didn't he like work in mines and stuff in Poland or something? Yeah, all those guys back then, you know, what I like about those old movies, so many of them, is when you watch an army movie from back then, you're watching someone who was in the army and shot at people. So it's like... They actually, you know, Lee Marvin, like he was like one of two people to survive in his platoon. Got shot and stuff. He had, I think, a sciatic nerve issue or something from where he got shot or something. Like this guy literally, like actors weren't, you know, what they are now, where it was a lot of pretend. I mean, Jesus, we've been over in Iraq for 15 years. I'm sure there's going to be the next Lee Marvins are going to come out of that.
Maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
Do you remember when...
I just say things, Joe.
I do, too. Who was that one guy that was like one of the first original movie stars, and he was a World War II veteran? Audie Murphy? Was that his name? There was a guy who was
most of them...
A famous war hero who
became
a movie star.
Yeah, most of them were veterans because of the level of the draft, but then it becomes, what did you do when you were there?
Right.
And it was like some of them, you know, they were in like, you know, infrastructure or whatever, and then there's other people that were actually like... Up front.
Yeah, Audie Murphy. Happening. This is the guy. He was. He became a movie star.
Well, look at all this stuff on his coat. He must have done something over there.
He was a decorated... Okay, so he's one of the most decorated American combat soldiers in World War II. And then single-handedly held off an entire German...
That's the guy who ran up with the grenade.
...of German soldiers for an hour.
Yeah.
Wow. So then he came back and became a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
And like people knew... He enjoyed a 21-year acting career, and then it just stopped.
Well, didn't he win like the Congressional Medal of Honor? Is like most people don't win that, and they're still alive,
right?
So back then, like that was like a celebrity.
Yeah,
like you had to hold off an entire platoon for a German platoon too, who makes Porsches and Mercedes. Like their level of guns that they had over there, like our machine guns overheated and theirs didn't. So if you killed a German guy, you threw away the American shit and picked up their stuff.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes ever, one of the German tank commanders was saying every one of their, were they Panzers? Is that what theirs was called? And ours were the Sherman tanks? Tiger. A Tiger was worth like four American tanks, but the Americans always had five. We just totally McDonald's them, like billions and billions served. We just kept cranking it out. It was like, we got them, right? And then there'd always be that last one coming over the hill.
Well, they had some massive cannon in World War I that apparently... It took like 100 men to move this enormous fucking cannon. And Dan Carlin was talking
100
about it.
Hardcore
history. What's that?
100 blue-eyed men to move it. They wouldn't let anybody without blue eyes move the thing.
Did Hitler even have blue eyes?
Isn't that
weird? He was a dark-haired guy.
No, he didn't. He looks like a cab driver in Germany. He was everything he hated. That was the funny thing about him. Was not a good dancer. If you ever saw him do his victory jigs, evidently was afraid of dogs.
Really?
I'm just repeating shit that people said. I don't know.
German Shepherds. It is amazing the kind of engineering that German people have come up with. I mean, you think about Mercedes, Porsche, Audi, BMW, yeah. All of that out of this one part of the world.
No, and they evidently, a lot of the leaders felt, oh my God.
Look at that fucking cannon. What is that thing called? Most powerful gun ever built. Heavy Gustav railway gun. So they put this thing on, it looks like it's on tractor tires. Like, it looks like a tractor, right? And they're, I guess they drove this thing up. But it just had, just this, the way Dan Carlin describes it is incredible. Like this unbelievable shockwave. Everybody would have to run a mile away when the thing was going off and plug your ears up just because it would blow your eardrums literally apart.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they show this thing going off?
What's wrong with people?
Oh,
how is war still legal? I just don't get how that's legal. You know what I mean? Like, I can't walk into a bar, you know, and punch somebody in the face, or if they punch me, we, like, fucking go to jail. But, like, this shit is, like, can't these leaders just kind of solve things amongst themselves?
No.
They can't carve it up a little? Just, all right, listen, you take the Philippines and...
No.
You give us Guam for the, you know, owners of football teams.
Isn't it amazing that, I mean, that we even have what's legal and what's not legal? I mean, what does that mean? We wrote it down on paper. We all agreed. I mean, think about the shit that is and isn't legal. And the fact that war's on that list at all.
I like laws.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like what ones?
You can't beat the shit out of me. Can't come into my house and take my stuff. What am I going to do? What am I honestly going to do about it?
I was thinking about that when
tell
I was watching
jokes.
The UFC this past weekend. I was watching this frightful beating that Alexander Gustafsson put on Glover Teixeira, and it was just a ruthless knockout, just fucking vicious beatdown, and then eventually stopped him. And I was thinking, it's kind of crazy that these guys agree to do this. They agree to do this, everybody signs away, and then you go do something that anywhere else in the world you would get locked up for.
Yeah, you get arrested. That happens in hockey every once in a while where somebody goes too far, and then the government gets involved.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what do they do?
If you hit somebody in the head with a stick, that goes outside the boundaries of setting the tone.
That seems like a pussy move, though. Hit him with a stick. You're supposed to punch.
Well, it's so weird when you got the stick in your hand.
Yeah.
It's just the shit that you sometimes think of doing.
I would
guys
think
spear
about...
each other in the balls. They fucking whack at the bat. Like, there's no padding behind your legs. Just imagine that. Just taking a wood stick and just... with NHL-level strength and just giving someone a two-hander to the back leg. They break people's finger. Crosby almost took somebody's finger off this year.
If they get too far, like, if it gets really... If they just open the rules up a little bit, you know what's going to happen? They're going to bring in figure skaters. They're going to teach them Taekwondo. They're going to cut people's fucking heads off with the skates.
Well, dude, you're spinning heel kick, man. If you ever learned how to skate, you'd be fucking dangerous. If you ever did that with skates on, that would be it.
That's what I'm saying. If you teach that to somebody, teach that to somebody with skates. I mean, if you could hit someone with a hockey stick, why can't you hit them with a skate? Like, where are we drawing the line here?
You can't hit them with a stick.
But they do it. If somebody does it to you.
No, they slash and they do stuff like that. You can't club somebody over. I mean,
even slashing. So, okay, I'll just slash your leg out.
What would you rather have? Would you rather get hit by a piece of wood and you don't have a bruise there, or have somebody slash you with their skate?
I would absolutely rather get hit by the piece of wood, but I shouldn't get hit by the piece of wood. I don't play hockey, but if I did play hockey, I'd be pretty pissed if somebody hit me with a stick. I'd be like, you fucking pussy, and I'd want to hit him
with
my skate.
You'd be like the second coming of Ty Domi. You have
who's
the exact
that?
Same build. He's a fucking guy who somehow was like my height and was considered a heavyweight fighter. And he's the guy, according to him, he came up with the grab them by right underneath your collar and then turn all the way sideways because he didn't have the reach advantage.
Oh.
And then he would wait for them to throw. He'd duck under and then come over the top. And, dude, I met him one time. Great fucking guy. And he has like your hands. You know your hands? You make like that and it turns into a hammer. It's the same thing. He has like these inexplicable like bear fucking paws, and I might be a little taller than him.
Wow.
I remember when he tried to show me when he grabbed the front of my shirt to show me. Like, I literally felt like an adrenaline, like, oh,
flashback.
I hope this guy doesn't snap. He's one of the, like, he's one of the toughest guys that ever ever played.
Well, you know, when Rocky Marciano was a heavyweight champion, he was only 185 pounds. He was 185 pounds and he was 5'10". And he was a heavyweight champ.
That's because it wasn't Tim Hortons on everybody's every fucking corner. They weren't feeding cows to other cows and be like, go ahead and eat it. See what happens. Yeah. Dude, have you seen kids hit puberty at like 8 now?
Yeah, they're
8
huge.
Or 9, you got to like teach them how to shave. I mean, I don't know what is in...
hormones.
Who knows what it is? But it's no longer... Monsanto changed their name. You know what I mean?
What do they know?
I don't know. It's just that's the genius of it, because then you don't know. The same way Halliburton changed. The same way Nissan. Nissan changed from Datsun.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I wonder why they did that. Datsun, they made some good cars.
Oh, they always go over the cliff.
Toyota did that, too, with Lexus.
Datsun. I don't want to get fucking sued.
Honda and Toyota in this country, they both do the same thing. They have this weird division where they make a luxury brand for Americans. You know, they don't do, like, Acura and Honda, they don't do that in Japan. Like, if you buy an NSX in Japan, which is their top-end car, it's a Honda. It's a Honda NSX.
Okay.
But in America, we're like, no. You need something. You need a better name.
No, but we have the space. Are you saying that they can't get a luxury car over there?
No.
Oh,
that's what
I'm saying. The name. Oh,
they
okay.
changed the name in America because we don't want to buy a Toyota. We assume a Toyota is a cheap car. So they go, okay, well, we're going to make a different brand of Toyota and call it a Lexus. And everybody's like, okay, we're in. As long as you change the name.
Oh, okay. Weird. I was literally going to make up without any research that because they were on an island.
They don't have anywhere to drive.
They don't have anywhere to drive, so they don't let them have the fast cars. Even that guy with $110 billion to buy a picture.
He's got nowhere to go.
No, he has like a Civic. he can't spend his money on cars, so that's why he buys the yacht.
You're a car guy, though. You know they have pretty fast cars. I mean, they have ridiculously fast cars. They have the GTR. It's one of the fastest cars in the world.
I know, but I've never been there. So
to Japan?
Yeah, I just was started to listen to what you were saying, and then that whole theory developed in my head.
Japan is small, but it's not that small.
No, it isn't. Can I mention F is for Family, that it came out today?
Today.
That's why I'm here. That's why I dragged you out of bed or whatever you were doing to do the special podcast here, which I appreciate. Season two of F is for Family is available to stream all of it. It took us a year to make it, and you can devour it in 5 hours.
Wow.
If you have food delivered. And then you can ask me when season three coming out, which is what I hope you ask me, because that would mean that you enjoyed it.
I love this fucking show. It's a hilarious show.
Oh, thank you.
I'm looking forward to the season.
It's fun, and I work with great people, thank God, because if I didn't, the amount of work that it would actually be misery, but it isn't.
It's a lot of work, though. How much work does it take you?
This
episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and, of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy two, get one free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan. Like, it takes a year to make, but how much does it take? How long does it take you?
Well, I mean, the writer's room is like a 10-week, 11-week thing. And then you're recording as you go, and then you're looking at, you know, the first drawings of it where they sort of rough it out. You'd be like, no, have Frank standing over here and Sue's over here. And it just kind of, you just keep, then you rewrite, and then you're watching stuff and it doesn't play, and then you rewrite it. And it just, it takes a year, dude. It takes like 10 months. And then the last 2 months is just going, okay, deciding on strategies on how they're going to promote it, which amazed me, because I'm like, well, we'll fucking do what we always do. But like, this business just changes so rapidly that even how we promoted it when it first came out in December 2015, you know, which was almost 2016. So now we're in 2017. Like, it's a bunch of other stuff has changed since then. So I don't know.
Like, what's changed? Like, what do you mean?
I fucking knew you were going to ask me that.
Sorry. Should I just let you go?
I can't. What was it?
No more questions.
No, they were just going like, they brought me in. Maybe this is my stand-up special. That's what they brought me in. And they basically showed me how everybody's Netflix screen is different. Like, yours is different. Your homepage is different because it's all, they're just watching you watch TV.
Right.
Or they got this fucking thing that watches it. So the only way our screen, our top whatever would be the exact same is if we watch the exact same shit at the same time and maybe even the same age group. I have no idea, but I was blown away by that. Like, I just thought, like, you know, I would look and be, oh, man, my special's on the cover of Netflix. It's like, no, it's on the cover of yours. And whoever else is in that vibe of, like, you're going to like this.
I have three different profiles. I have one profile, and then I have one profile for each of my kids.
Okay.
So I see different stuff. So I see that. So if I go to my kids' homepage, like, if they want to watch a show that they watch, and I go there, I see just a bunch of little kids' show. I don't ever see anything that I watch. I go to mine, I see House of Cards, I see your special, I see other people's specials. So, yeah, that's what they do. They're very smart with their algorithms. But what I don't like is this fucking thumbs up, thumbs down bullshit.
Can't do that.
What's that?
I was joking about that on my podcast. It's like Adolf Hitler, thumbs down. Orange juice after brushing your teeth, thumbs down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
Ice cream, thumbs up. Yeah. A threesome with supermodel, thumbs up.
You know, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Did they really do that because of Amy Schumer? That's the
rumor. No, that was already. Yeah.
Why would they do that?
That behemoth. When you're that fucking big, you can't make decisions that quickly.
But everybody wanted it to be. They're like, they did it for her. They did it for her.
Well, you know,
they got to bring it back. The star system is a perfect system. Everybody's used to it.
Yes.
We've been using it forever. It works.
Yes.
But what is the star? Does the star? Somebody told me the star system only applies. It's like geared towards what you would like. I'm like, how the fuck would they know that? That doesn't make any sense. And then I heard that that's not the case. That it's basically just an average of all the people, just like on Amazon. If you go to Amazon and you look at something, you see 5 stars. And you see 175 reviews. That's what it is.
Right.
But somebody told me that wasn't the star system wasn't that. See if you can find that out, Jamie. Somebody said the star system was based on whether or not you would like it. I'm like, that seems ridiculous because I've never rated a fucking thing in my life on Netflix.
I don't get any of these places, and I don't understand how any of them fucking work. I go old school. Like, I just try to, whatever I'm doing, I try to make it as funny as I possibly can. And try to work with the best people I possibly can, and then just hope it sticks. And if it doesn't, I can always just keep telling jokes. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you. I have no idea, and when I took that meeting with Netflix, I went in there like, this is a jerk-off meeting. Why did I drive all the way over here to fucking have a meeting on how to promote this shit? And when they sat down and they were done with the presentation, I was like, am I allowed to leave? Like, you don't do the Men in Black thing to me before I walk out of here so I forget all? That was fucking amazing. It was fucking amazing. Like, the level with which every goddamn, like, there's not one drop of water that rolls off the table. They're catching it all. I don't know how I'm just not wired that way.
Well, that's probably good, though. There's only so much time in the day. Like, just to think about being funny and just concentrate and staying in your lane is probably the best option anyway.
I mean, it's working for me.
Yeah.
It's working for me. And then there's
also, you don't
want
to be worried about algorithms and shit.
No. And then there's also a certain level of known that you don't want to get to, because then it stops being fun.
Right.
And then
Tom Cruise.
Well, early Tom Cruise, it was fun to be that famous. But before social media and everybody had a camera that they could pull out like Charles Bronson in that cologne commercial, then it just becomes, it's just something completely different. Like, when we started in this business, like, being famous was courtside seats and, I don't know.
Look at this
fucking
shit.
Fucking mountains of blow.
It says Netflix star systems, star ratings were personalized and had been from the start. That means when you saw a movie on Netflix rated 4 stars, it didn't mean the average of all ratings were 4 stars. And instead, it meant that Netflix thought you'd rate it 4 stars based on your habits and other people's ratings, but many people didn't get that. So how the fuck was Amy Schumer's 1 star? Everybody gave it one star. How's that work then?
It was Sandinista rebels. They just all got on, and then they threatened the people that liked her special, and that's how it went down.
Well, I guess in that case, what they did was they just said, look.
Greenpeace attacked my special.
So many, did they?
Yeah, and it just ruined all my chances for the rest. Amazing. I did this joke about trees, and they just didn't like it, and that's it for me. That's how it works now. This is a whole new world.
That seems weird, though, to me. That they wouldn't like let it actually be rated. That the ratings were personalized based on the shit that you like. But how the fuck do they know what you like? You just know what I watch,
dude. It's a riddle wrapped up in an enigma. You're not going to figure out a fucking worldwide. I don't know how they do it. All I know is I went in and I took the meeting. I was like, this is fucking unbelievable.
Well, they're on top of shit. You know, the weirdest one is Alexa. Do you know Alexa, the Amazon one? They're using it. They're trying to use it.
Sounds like a porn star.
Yeah, it does. I'm sure there's
coming
a bunch
to the
of
stage. Alexa.
They're trying to use that. Alexa's a thing that you talk to. You're like, Alexa, play Bill Burr's album. And, you know,
I have no sympathy for people that bring that in their house. And because those mouth-breathing fucking morons will, someday it'll be mandatory that I do and get microchipped. And then that's going to be the end of any sort of rebellion and whatever the fuck they want to do. That's it. The emperor can literally fuck a flounder on TV at that point, and they will be able to stop any sort of like fucking
any dissent.
They'll turn off your chip, which is your money. What are you going to rebel against? With a slingshot? It's over. It's a fucking wrap. But there's too many mouth breathing morons being like, "Well, what do I care if somebody if I'm not fucking doing anything?" Those people.
Yeah, I've had that. I had that argument with a very smart person. When the NSA shit went down, they found out they were listening to all the calls. The guy's like, go ahead, listen. If it keeps fucking terrorists from attacking, go ahead and listen. I'm not doing anything wrong. Like, wow, that's not what it is. Like, anybody could find out your email. They can go in your email and look at your emails and decide whether or not you're doing something wrong or right. Decide they don't
or
like...
Or that once they have that jurisdiction, they could even if you didn't have anything, they could say you did.
Yeah. Well, that's they it. Definitely could. They could alter your emails. They could do whatever they
that's
want.
That's why nobody gets whacked anymore. People used to get whacked. You don't get whacked anymore.
Killed?
Yeah, you don't.
Well, they think that Seth Rich guy got killed.
Who's that?
Paying attention to that?
That's no, the DNC. I don't listen to shit. I just talk. I'm just going to say, you can just kill him in the media. All you got to do is one dick pic and be like, that is his dick.
I'll give you the conspiracy theory and I give you what they know. There's a guy named Seth Rich. He's apparently a Bernie Sanders supporter. He's working for the DNC. He found out that the DNC was
the
fucking
Democratic
over.
Democratic Natural Convention?
Natural, yeah.
No, national?
National, yeah. He found out that they were fucking over Bernie Sanders, and so he supposedly was giving this information to WikiLeaks. All that information got out. It hurt Hillary because it turned, and it hurt the DNC. The DNC, head of the DNC, left and went, she resigned and immediately went to work for Hillary Clinton. Anyway, this guy who WikiLeaks says.
And there was no follow up because once she resigns in mainstream news, that's the end of the fucking story.
Yeah, there was no follow up. It was pretty outrageous that she immediately got hired by Hillary Clinton.
Right.
But anyway, the kid who was this Bernie Sanders supporter, his name is Seth Rich, he was murdered outside of his house 4 o'clock in the morning. They said it was a robbery. They left his money, they left his wallet, they left his phone, they left his watch. Nothing was taken from him, but he was shot in the back at 4 o'clock in the morning. So. Julian Assange from WikiLeaks said that there are consequences for working with us and providing us information. So they're saying, are you saying this guy provided you information? He said, that's just what I'm saying. There's consequences to working with us. And then there's this other guy, Kim.com, was this famous multimillionaire internet character that's hiding
out
in New Zealand.
I was going to say, after he lets the information out, what is the purpose of killing the guy? Because you're not going to stop the information. What it is to stop other people from doing it because they all get creeped out by...
To stop other people from doing it.
Is that what you're saying here?
To stop other people from doing it, one, and two, so that he can't testify on the depth of all the corruption that was going on in the DNC and who had organized it and who had orchestrated it. That's what they think. But what the fuck? But there's a lot of people that dispute this. And also, there was a redacted FBI report that people were touting out that turned out to be bullshit. And so now they found out that was a fraud, that the FBI report was a bullshit FBI report. So they don't know what the fuck's going on. But this guy's dead. So my point is he got whacked. Whether or not he got whacked because he was working with, here it is, federal prosecutor found dead.
This guy got whacked this weekend, apparently.
Oh, Jesus. What did he get whacked for?
Don't know exactly yet.
Jesus, you guys just blew my theory out of the water.
Yeah, he's like a 37-year-old federal prosecutor. Went for a jog in South Beach and found with a gunshot wound to his head, I believe. Is what
Whoa. Well, he might have fucking put somebody in jail, though, that
potentially, yeah,
that he was pissed off and waited for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you got to alter your behaviors.
What, when you put somebody in jail?
No, when you when you have jobs like that.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go home the same way everybody. How the fuck people live like that?
Yeah, how do you live
so
when
glad
you're
I'm
prosecuted?
Too dumb to ever get to that level of society.
Well, it's just an intense way of life, too. You work with criminals all the time. You're constantly working with people that are breaking the law. You're constantly trying to put them behind bars.
This is freaking me out. When did you start smoking a pipe?
Oh, I only have done it a couple of times. Steven Crowder brought it in for me. And I tried
How
it.
Is it?
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's
not
a little
amazing?
Annoying. Cause you got, it's not bad. I'll do it right now. I'll light it up for you.
I thought it would be amazing.
It's okay.
Both
I
my
like
grandfathers smoked a pipe. So I am a,
I like what it looks like. It
smells good. There's a place on the west side, the Tinderbox, that I've been meaning to go into.
That place on Wilshire, right? Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that spot.
There's a place over there, and I've been meaning to go in there.
And take up pipedom?
I don't know. I just like I like the smell of it. Mandom.
Oh, this is dead. We got another
just
one.
Just go in there and throw your shirt across the room and start smoking a pipe. Well, Lee, why you like that, I'll tell you a little bit about F is for Family for People this season. Frank's looking to get a job, after getting fired. That was some good active listening. Oh, Jesus. Is it weed you're putting in there?
No, it's tobacco.
Oh, I thought you fucking inhaled. No. You don't inhale, do you?
No.
No, you just sort of put it in your mouth. Okay.
Yeah, just going to get a little puff there.
Okay. Kevin's trying to get his band going. We got Laura Dern on the show. Justin Long, Sam Rockwell, Haley Reinhardt, Debbie Derryberry.
I think I might have inhaled the first time, did I?
Yeah, I thought you did.
I might have. We'll see how it goes.
David Koechner.
No, that time I did. Yeah. David Koechner's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's one of the silliest people I've ever met, and I love him.
Yeah, you guys got a great cast.
Yeah.
Do you like doing a cartoon? Is it as satisfying for you as doing stand-up, or is it just something different that's equally satisfying?
It's just fun.
Just fun.
It's, you know what? Look, stand-up's my first love. So, but the thing that I love doing is I love writing for all these other people, you know, and I should say when we write for them, because everybody's in the room. And the biggest thrill I get is at the table read, beyond making, you know, the powers that be laugh, when the actors crack up and they can't get through the line. Like, we got Mo Collins this year a couple of times, and she's a beast, man. She's just does so many characters for us. And a couple times, like, it's just one of those things, like, man, if we're making Mo laugh, like, I know this is a good line. And we got this guy, Trevor Duvall is another guy. We got him one time. And Koechner's hard to get to laugh, though. He's such a pro, you know what I mean? And he'll say afterwards, this is some of the funniest shit I've ever done. But to get him...
It's kind of
a goal of mine.
To get him to crack?
Yeah. I've been in the booth with Laura, and we've gotten her a number of times. And, it's Sam Rockwell. We've gotten him to laugh. I just love... That's my favorite... It's like making another comedian laugh.
Right.
It's an extra level of, like, all right. You know, and especially, you know, a lot of them, the caliber of actors, that the material that they've looked at. So for them to say, and you can tell, you know, anybody can say, oh, my God, this is great. But when you really make them laugh... You can't fake that. The table reads are fun because I think that's more like a stand-up show. And I really rehearse my lines and I make sure that I sell the shit out of them because I don't have to go back and fix them, you know, if they don't work at the table read. And that's something that I did accidentally early in my career. And then I learned what a big thing that is. Like the first acting gig that I got, I was doing some small movie or something. They had a table read, and I got there, and I was overly prepared, and the lines worked. And then there was more stuff for me, and this guy said, hey, man, the writers love you, man. You're just selling the shit out of your stuff. And I'm thinking in my head, I was just trying not to get fired. And then I was able to see how the game works, because there's actors that'll go to a table read, and if they don't like the material, they don't sell the stuff. And... I don't think they understand how hard people work. So at least give it a fucking...
Right.
Yeah, swing out of your cleats, see what happens. You know what I mean? But to go there and just sort of mumble your way through it, it's not a good position to get yourself into as an actor if the whole writer's room is like, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah, wasn't that an issue on... What was that girl on one of those cop shows. Not cop shows, one of those hospital shows. Grey's Anatomy? Was that girl said she wanted to be removed from consideration for the Emmys because she didn't think the material was strong enough that year? And they were like, oh, what?
Oh, God.
This fucking...
Yeah, no, and how writers command their money is through winning shit like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, being on a hit show, but if you're an Emmy award-winning writer, that's huge for them. That's like their fucking HBO special. So to screw... if they're gonna get... They were nominated, and she said, I want to take that back.
Yeah.
Wow.
She didn't want to be nominated. Here it is. Star shuns Emmys. Katherine Heigl this week said she had opted out of the Emmys race this year because she was not given good enough material to work with last season. That is fucking 29 years old on top of the fucking world.
That is just disappearing up your own fucking vagina.
Go back
right
to
there.
That real quick. So that was
I don't
10
know
years
who that
ago.
Is.
Exactly.
Is she still working?
Not really. No. She dropped off the face of the planet 10 years ago. She was a big star. She started doing movies. She did that movie with Seth
Is
Seth
she
Rogen,
trying to motivate people
she was,
now?
Yeah,
on Instagram?
Knocked up. No, she's fucking dropped off the face of the planet. Now she's 40.
And 38. Let's be honest here. She's 38.
Well, basically 10 years ago. 40 is 38. I mean, I'm 49. I'm 50. Trust me. That's what happens, though. That 10 years flies by, and nobody wants to do shit with you anymore. Now she's got a tainted word. She's got a tainted name. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's apparently softened her stance, and she's, you know, apologized for her youthful exuberance. But
hey, we're dumb. In our 20s, we're dumb.
Yeah.
I give her a pass.
Dumb as fuck. Yeah.
I give her a pass. Poor girl.
Good for you.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, you do dumb shit.
Oh, yeah.
In your 20s.
That's pretty dumb, though.
Huh?
That's pretty dumb. That's ferociously dumb.
I could beat that with a few things in my 20s.
But don't you think that's not like a rash decision? That's something that was thought over, decided, reinforced, said it more than one time, and then did it.
Yeah, but there's a certain level of like not only egomania with celebrity, but there's also paranoia. And I think that like you just fucking, that all swirls together in your head. And like, you know, like maybe her thinking about an old acting, am I doing the work? Is this worthy? Like you got that fucking going on with if you're just remotely a pleasant person, when you get to a certain level of fame, people are just like, you are just the most amazing, like I sneezed and you said, God bless you. I mean, he is so down to earth, like the level that you have to just fucking barely even be a fucking decent human being to just get this avalanche of compliments. If you got that going on and then you got this fucking paranoia thing like, is this the move? Is this what I wanted? Is this what I want to hang my hat on with this Emmy? And you just start fucking having your own inside the actor's studio with yourself.
I think it's just a diss on the writers. That's what I would say. I would say what she's doing is just dissing the writers. She's just saying...
So in your world, it's a sketch. For me, it was a trilogy of a movie. I was really going somewhere with
that. A trilogy?
Three-parter? Okay. I was just joking how I built it all up in her head. And you're just like, yeah, I think she's just being a cunt. They call him old Brass Tacks Rogan. Just gets right down to it.
That is my method. I'm more of a brass... I'm not really...
Ground and pound. You ground and pound it. You don't feel them out in the first round.
I'm
take them right down to the mat.
Yeah. When it comes to people like that, I'm like, oh, I've seen that before. I know what that is.
You go double leg takedown, and then that's it.
Well, especially with actors. I met a lot of nice actors. Don't get me wrong. But maybe it's 50% of them? That's a bad number. Like 50% of actors are pretty fucking cool.
But you worked back when they could be a douche.
Oh, that's true.
Now you can't.
That's right.
Now you can't.
Yeah. People tell.
Yeah. No. It's just... Because everybody stole all the movies and they stole all the music. You know, those people like, where's all the good music? I wish I was born during the grunge era. It's like, well, if this model existed back then, you would have ruined that too. Because you cunts don't pay for anything. So you get what you pay for. You get shitty movies, you know, about superheroes and all that. So now, that's what it is. It's going to be superheroes or, you know, some sort of whatever. Fucking, oh my God, am I 40 now? One of those comedies. And, what the fuck was my point? What were you even talking about?
People don't pay for anything anymore.
No,
that's
what I
sucks.
Made it. That's what I made okay. it. That wasn't your thing. I was talking about, you can't be a douche now because the work's dried up. There's not as many of them. That's why there's like all these stars piling on like the Golden State Warriors every movie. Back in the day, like to make Ocean's 11 happen, when all of those people could have had their own starring vehicle and make all of this fucking money. God, I hope I'm right on this one.
you mean the original Ocean's 11?
No, even the one like in the early 2000s.
Clooney?
When I, the few times I did movies, everybody told me, you just missed it. You fucking missed it. It all ended in 05, 06, and I started getting work in like fucking 09, 2010. They were like, oh my God, they fucking pay for John Travolta's jet fuel. He come in his own fucking, you know, to do like one of those Hogs movies, like riding on a motorcycle. He'd be, okay, you got to pay for my 747. They're like, oh, John, goes without saying. I'm going to fly back and forth from the set on the weekend in my own 747, 12-hour. Hey, absolutely, whatever you want. We'll build a fucking airfield for you right next to when we do Staying Alive. We'll fucking do like when you hear some, I mean, I'm obviously exaggerating to a certain level, but like some of the budgets that were around and the way that they burned through fucking money. And now it all just, it's like it's the Serengeti during the dry season and all the fucking lions are fucking, everybody's drinking next to each other. So,
but don't they still make big movies now? I mean, don't all these like blockbuster
they
movies,
do that.
They still make.
No, but if you notice, but there's like, it's not just a Tom Cruise movie. There'll be like fucking all these other people pile, like those superhero movies. There's like a, there's someone who used to be able to carry a movie in each slot.
Right.
I'm not saying they still don't get movies. It's just like, it's just dried up. And I this, people in the industry told me.
Men in Black 3 star Will Smith forced to move his huge $2 million trailer as New York residents complain.
Look at
that
thing.
Trailer.
That's his gym, just for working out.
That's just his gym?
Yeah, he had another trailer, too.
Holy shit.
For hanging out or whatever.
Kevin James had a trailer just for working out. When we did Zookeeper together, he had a full gym in a trailer that you rent. I mean, it was a full, it had a fucking tanning booth in it. That was for Here Comes the Boom. For Here Comes the Boom, he had to get in shape because he was playing a guy who became a UFC fighter.
I like that
fighter.
Movie.
He
did a great job.
Yeah, he did. He lost a shitload of weight, too. Started drinking kale shakes in the morning and working out constantly, so he had a full gym.
Nothing will get you in shape like knowing you're going to have to take your shirt off in a movie. Nothing will motivate you like, fuck this.
Yeah, definitely
help. Give me all the green shit you got, I'll drink it. I will fucking drink that. If you could somehow, if there was an app that you listened to when you were asleep and it convinced you that you were going to have to take your shirt off in a movie, like the level of shape that Americans would get into, I think would be crazy.
Do you? What about Bert Kreischer?
Bert Kreischer is a rare animal. He's like a white tiger. You know, he's very valuable.
Like an albino deer.
Like if you ever get to the level, if you get bored with just, you know, and you want to go for the ultimate prey, like that's the head you want on your wall. You want Bert Kreischer. Bert is like, he has, I don't know how he's wired, but like he does not, I would love to ask, that's a, you have to ask him that. Ask him, Bert, what humiliates you? Like that dude is really just like fearless.
Well, he's definitely fearless of taking his shirt off. Takes his shirt off every show. Like immediately. Takes his shirt off and then
shirt
puts his
off,
hat back
has
on.
A fucking chaps on.
Yeah. Chaps?
He did that at the goddamn comedy gym. No, he came, I remember, I had to follow him. He went out and he fucking did Red Hot Chili Peppers, Give It Away Now, and came out with just a sock on his junk and convinced everyone else in the band to do it.
And they did it?
Most of them didn't want to do it. He's fucking Bert. He led him over the hill like in Braveheart. And they all walked out with their socks. And I'm sitting there like, how the fuck am I going to follow this?
And what did you have to sing?
Well, I don't sing.
Did you play the drums?
I just play drums.
You can't go wrong, though. And you're back there with the drums. You could follow that. It's not the same.
Dude, you're talking the level of energy and the level of the crowd being like, dude, what the fuck? The show's over, dude. The show was over.
Why didn't they have him go last?
That's the exact question I asked Josh Adam Myers, who also does a voice. Also does a voice on. He does Howlin' Hank, the DJ. He had the. I remember when he came up with the DJ character. I'm like, I got the guy with the perfect voice. I don't know why. I should have been going on last. I think it's like they view that show more like how many years have you been doing stand up. It's like, no, this is not a stand-up. This is a music show. Who has the most musical ability or, like, is going to make the crowd go the craziest? I mean, come on, dude. Even if you didn't know anything about show business, these guys are going to come out with nothing but socks on their dicks. That's going last.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. So,
that's what I would say if I was scheduling it.
I can't remember what I did after that.
Played the drums.
Well, I did some stand. I did enough stand up to try to make them forget about what they saw before that, but I don't remember what song I played. No.
So that show has stand up too? Like you do a little stand up as well?
Yeah. Well, what you used to. Well, the way it started out was you would come out and just talk about how much you love music, and then you talk about the awful band you played in, or some of the concerts you went to, or a rock star that they meant something to you, and what you got inspired to do. Well, there you go. That's me being trying to be Steven Adler with the heart tattoo. So I probably played either Welcome to the Jungle or Paradise City on that one. It's fun as shit, dude. And the reason why I dress up like the drummers is because I don't want people to think that, you know, I play drums good enough where people will be like, wait, does this guy think he's good?
Look at Bert.
Yeah, there you go.
He's in a bikini.
I'm trying to find the socks. I can't find right now,
that was before the weight loss challenge, too.
Yep.
He put most of that weight back on, though. Yeah. Tommy didn't. I went to Tommy's house the other day to do his podcast, Segura. He looks fucking great. He's lost more weight.
Oh, yeah.
He's disciplined now.
Yes, he is.
He's exercising constantly.
Eerily quiet sometimes when you stand next to him.
Tom?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I just peer into his head sometimes, like, what's going on in there?
What do you see?
I don't know. I love Tom, but I'm telling you, there's just fucking...
Is something happening in there?
Huh? I would love to bring him on here and interview him.
Well, he's definitely intense.
He's intense.
In a way that he doesn't show a lot of people. Like, the way he prepared for this weight loss challenge.
I'm a dark dude, and I when I go into a room, you can... If you're a psycho, you spot another psycho, and there's just like, there's a fucking movie going on there that I would love to finance. I want to see that movie made.
He's him and his wife, I think, that's the funniest comedy couple. Next to Moshe Kasher, like, that's... It's like Moshe Kasher... And his wife, Natasha Leggero, those two, and then Tommy Buns and Christina. I gotta go with Tommy and Christina. They're close, though.
I'm seeing
close.
A new reality show.
It's close.
Comedy couples.
Comedy
I'm your
couples
host, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last comic standing with comic meets the newlywed game. Huh? That's all you have to do to pitch. You just pitch two shows that worked.
The Newlywed Game and Last Comic Standing.
Yeah. You ask them questions and all of that stuff. Who else is out there? You got Tom Carter and Kerry Louise, right?
Okay.
I'm just saying comedians that married each other.
Who else?
It's one season.
Bonnie McFarlane and Rich Voss.
They're
contenders. Bam. They're in the running as well for the funniest couple. Who else?
Well, how do you keep this going, Joe?
I don't know.
How
it's
do you keep
many.
This going for five seasons?
You don't. You barely can get three episodes
Is
out of it.
Is it a special? Is it something you would loan your name to?
No.
Could this live? Where would this live?
I'm just trying to get a check. I just want to sell it to you and then run away.
I like it. Well, listen, we just got in business with Liquid Drano, and they want to get into the streaming business, and they got all kinds of money. They know they're going to lose money in this first year, so we're just going to throw money at you.
I have one request.
What's that?
Mario Lopez, host.
Mario Lopez.
Can we get him?
Do we know him?
Yes.
What does he do?
He's a boxer.
Mario Lopez. He wasn't on Saved by the Bell?
Did that too, but now entertainment reporter / boxer.
Oh, and he's a boxer.
Yeah.
Another guy
Handsome.
Shredded.
Good looking guy.
And he hosted.
Yes.
There you go.
So, like, the women are married to a guy that's not as good-looking as Mario, and that's part of the drama of the show. What do you think?
Where does this live?
Bravo, for sure.
I was just picturing the industry, like, whenever you don't know what to say, you just go, where does this live?
Where does this live?
Is this in our palate?
You know what I've been watching lately that's fucking ridiculously addictive in some fucked-up way is Million Dollar Listing. You ever watch that show? Do you know what it is? It's these gay guys are selling houses.
Yes, my wife watches that show with that fucking the gay guy who lives in Connecticut.
So you like
who is
the,
like
yes,
so
yes,
coiffed
he's ridiculous.
And so he looks like he's like claymation. Yes. He doesn't look like a real person. His teeth are so white.
I am the number one real estate agent in all of New York.
I'm
the best.
I love that guy, and I love when he starts speaking. What does he speak? Swedish?
Yes.
And out of nowhere, he
there
just
he
buzz.
Is.
No, that's not the guy.
That's not him.
That's not him. No,
oh, that's the one from New. No, that's the other one. The one on the far
down
right.
On the right. On the right.
Yeah, the
you
far
gotta,
right guy. That guy.
That's
yeah,
the
that's
fucking
him.
Guy.
There he is. Oh, the one in the middle looks a lot like him. God, that's weird.
They all have on lipstick.
They look exactly the same. Million Dollar Listing. That's Los Angeles. That's the different one.
Yeah, the one in New York. Yeah,
yeah
that
the one on the
fucking
far left.
Gestapo fucking gay dude. I love that guy.
So the guy in the middle is there. I haven't seen that guy before. I've only seen the one in New York with the male model in the middle. There's a male.
The one
models.
On the right is an angry psycho like me. The dude in the middle is sort of a middle ground, and then the other guy is like, I mean, he's right out of Hogan's Heroes.
There was a house that they were selling in Los Angeles that was on that show, and I was watching it, and they were trying to sell it for $20 million, and it was for sale recently. It's actually a house that's really for sale, but it's like right above Sunset Strip. Like, you could see it from the strip. Like, imagine buying a $20 million house, and you could just look at it. Like, you can look into the windows. I mean, it's a half a block above the strip.
You're looking out your window like a CVS is across the street. No?
Yeah.
That's what, okay, I just thought you were...
But it is like that.
It's on the street.
Right there.
It's not above it.
Here's the strip. Here's Sunset Strip. Here's the first couple of buildings. It's right there. I mean, it's fucking right there.
Right.
But they wanted $20 million for it. And the listing
guy. Do you believe that those are true? Because, like, the last episode I watched is, like, the gay Gestapo guy is sitting there going, walks in to this lady and he just goes, okay, here's the offer. The final offer they can give you is $11.3 million. And then she just...
I saw that one.
She read him the right act.
I told you, no negotiations.
Don't come in here, waste my fucking time, blah, blah, blah. And he's just sitting there going like, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know? And I was surprised he took that level of shit. I was waiting for him to be like, lady, it's not my fault you think it's worth $15 million.
Can't
you fucking
like
lunatic. Yeah, you can't do that. So he just sits there and listens. And then she leaves... And I'm like, holy shit, they finally didn't sell a house. And then just boom, 2 seconds later, somebody calls up. After he does the whole, she walked out the door. It was like winter in Russia, right? Fucking all of a sudden, somebody calls up out of nowhere and just goes, all right, 11-6, final offer, that's it. And then he calls the lady up and then she's all just like, see, that's all I wanted.
Yeah, that's the exact show I watched.
Yeah, and I watched just that like, exact that was too easy.
And there's the handsome model who just takes his shirt off all the time, and he's ripped. That guy with the Jewish fellow with the long hair.
My wife likes him.
Of course she does.
Yeah.
Women like him. Guy's shredded.
Yeah, I can't get mad at that.
Beautiful man.
She could literally be like, I'm leaving you for him, and I'd be like, hey, I get that.
I get it.
I see it.
You got to do what you got to do.
Good for you, man. Fuck it.
Congratulations. Give me some knuckles.
There you go.
Hey, at least we had a kid together.
Yes,
give me a hug.
You know?
imagine
you're taking custody, too. I figure, you know, he's a better-looking dad. He's probably better at it than me.
Yeah, it's tough to fight that off. It's about 6'2", shredded. And he keeps a certain amount of chest hair on it, too.
You really analyze this guy, dude.
I
fucking nod. I got my little glass of fucking whatever I'm drinking at that point. You know, my little helper to get me to sleep.
What do you drink?
Oh, dude, I drink gasoline. I drink gas, dude.
How often are you drinking?
Because
you took a long time off, right? Didn't you take
a few months?
Yeah,
I take like periods. I'm in the middle of a Joe DiMaggio streak right now. No, I didn't drink last night. But, you know, I had family come in 2 weekends this month to meet my daughter. And so, like, that was a lot of, like, you know, beer drinking. I mean, it's just... You know, boozing and whatever. Like, I feel I'm being good if I drink hard stuff because it's not as many calories as beer. But, yeah.
I've been on a wine streak lately.
I can't deal with the fact that it makes your teeth gray. I hate that. And then you're sitting there. If you drink red wine, it turns gray. And then you're like, ha ha.
I drink so much coffee. My teeth are kind of jacked anyway.
Oh.
They're going a little yellow.
Yeah, I go through periods. I got inspired recently because I read something about some celebrity that fucking was already good looking and then they just laid off the booze being like, yeah, I kind of was going too hard. And the dude was even better looking. I was just like, yeah, I got to cut this out. I got to knock this off. So
like getting off booze is going to make you better looking?
It's going to make you a better looking you.
How's that?
Because you're fucking pouring that shit into you. It's not good for you. It's like you're literally asking me, like, if you live a healthier lifestyle, you're going to look a little better.
Hmm.
Dude, if you're eating moon pies and fucking drinking beer and stuff, you're going to look horrible.
Would you rather enjoy yourself or look better?
Oh, dude, I literally was thinking that last night when I was sitting there going like, all right, I'm not drinking tonight. I'm not going to have that little one. And, you know, my wife always, I come walking and she hears the ice in the glass before I even get down the hall. And
she give you a hard time?
Oh, another one, huh?
No. She doesn't.
You don't enjoy me sober?
No, she's more like, ah, Christ, you're going to be fucking snoring all night. No, we have, she, no, my wife's always this. I'll always be like, oh my God, I think I'm a fucking alcoholic. She's like, you're not an alcoholic. You're so fucking dramatic. You just like to drink. It's like, all right, you're right. But we did have this whole fucking thing where she's just like, I'd come walking in with the drink and she just spelled last year when we were doing the show. And just the stress of writing and just thinking all day and coming home. Like, I was like really fucking hitting it a little harder. So I'd come into the room and she was looking at my pores and they went from this to this to this to getting like bigger. And then one night I came walking in and she just goes, Jesus Christ, why don't you just bring the whole bottle down? Like, I only had one. She goes, look at that. Fucking thing is huge. And that's when I came up. I go, it's a home pour.
A home pour?
A home pour.
Oh.
Well, you know, like, you know, you go out to like the fucking... The whiskey bars and shit, and they take like an eyedropper out. They have like a giant like glacier fucking ice cube in there, and then they just, you know, little wet your whistle shot. And you just, it doesn't even go up like an eighth of the ice cube. That's a commercial pour, and then you got the home pour, which is me. Is it, you cover the ice cube. You get one of those big square ones in there, you know, and you just you pour over it.
I got a buddy that takes it to the next level. He takes a smoker. He puts water in the smoker. So he leaves it in there for like a half an hour. So the smoke embeds the water. Then he takes the water out of the smoker and pours it into this circular cube maker, ice ball maker. You know, you pour it in there so it's smoky water. And then he drops that in a glass and pours his whiskey over the smoke-infused water.
Yeah,
that's too much.
It's a little redundant.
Right?
Yeah.
A little too much.
That's like that band Striper. Remember them?
Oh, they were the Christian band.
Remember all the stripes? Like they just took it too far? Everything was fucking striped.
Weren't they like
super
Christian?
The guy's whole fucking drum kit. Like the cymbal stands were all yellow and black striped.
That's too much.
It's like, we get it. You're Striper. You
couldn't. Yeah. I didn't know. I'm not aware of these guys.
Now that is...
That is disgusting.
Yeah, that is
yellow and black.
That's what I think. Having a smoke infused, it's already going to be have a peaty taste to it.
Now, am I wrong about them being the Christian band?
No, you're right.
They are.
The drummer's name was Robert Sweet. I remember that, and that was actually. And I don't think that's a stage name. That's how
Isaiah.
Nice he was. I have no idea.
5.3. They have a quote in the back. That's
yeah,
hilarious.
But they hit
dress
a market.
Like bees.
They hit.
Just they hit that bumblebee
like
market. Why Ted Cruz? Oh, the guy looks like Ted Cruz. The picture of Ted Cruz and the guy. It does look like Ted Cruz. It's
Ted
hilarious.
Cruz has a Pee Wee Herman haircut too, right there.
It does a little bit.
A little Bob's Big Boy, a little coif going on there.
Meanwhile,
I should talk.
I'd be happy with him as president right now. I'd be happier. Would you not be?
He creeped me out.
Did he?
Yeah.
Creep you out more than Trump?
Yeah, I voted for Gary Johnson.
I did too.
I like that guy. He just was sane. That's all I was looking for at that point.
Yeah.
And I like Bernie Sanders too. I would have loved to see those two guys go at it. I just think we would have been in a much better place.
It would have made more sense.
Yeah, it just got a little too...
What do you think is going on with this Russia shit?
I don't give a shit.
You don't give a shit at all?
I don't give a shit, dude. Whatever they did, we've done 1,000 times around the globe. If anything, they're guilty of stealing from us. You talking about tampering with the election?
No. What I'm really talking about is how much like investment Trump has in Russia and what Russia has on Trump. There's some weird shit going on with him, too.
I hope he's boys with them. It didn't work out well the last time when we weren't friends.
Right.
It'd be nice to get along with them. They don't have to try out their missiles. They work.
Yeah.
It's not like North Korea. You know, well, they got like a fucking, what do they call those things? A startup, you know? They got like hashtag fund my nuclear missile over there. I don't know. I refuse to get scared by that guy, too.
Well, I'm not scared by him, by Putin, but he's a scary fucking guy. I mean, he's a murderer and a thug.
There's a lot of murderers here. A lot of murderers. You remember that?
We've done terrible things as well.
I love when he said that.
He's right. He's right.
Well, who's a murderer? He goes, a lot of killers over here, too. And then... O'Reilly goes, well, who's a killer over here? And he just goes, a lot of killers. And then he just moves on to the next question.
Yeah.
Nobody will be like, no, wait, I asked a fucking question, answer it. And
he'll get up and walk away. That's what he does now. It's his move. You ask him questions about Russia, he just gets up, fuck you, leaves. Calls you fake news.
Fake news.
You are fake news.
Fake news. Oh, dude, the amount of sketches you could do with that guy. Busted for cheating on his fucking wife, and just she'll be asking a question. I'll just get up in the middle of it. It's fake news. It's fake news. Well, whose panties are these? Those are fake. All fake.
Alec Baldwin is reviving his career with him. I mean, Alec Baldwin.
Did he
on
have
fire
to revive
right
it? Revive?
Not really.
I've always thought that that guy's been killing it.
Yeah, he's always doing great, but I mean, he's on fire right now, doing his Donald Trump impression. I mean, it's one of the best things he's ever done.
That guy's fucking hilarious. Did you ever see him on Jiminy Glick?
No.
That guy kills it on everything. He's one of the funniest dudes out there, and he's one of the best character actors out there. It's just that he looks like an astronaut superhero that they tried to make him like this matinee idol guy, and he was really like a character actor guy. And when he does... my wife was always watching 30 Rock. He fucking killed it. Do you ever see when he did his Tracy Morgan impression?
No.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
Well, he kills it so hard on SNL as Trump. I mean, there's no way he's not funny. I mean, that impression is fucking disaster. I mean, it's destructive. It's so good.
I love that one joke where they had, I'd like to apologize to the blah, blah, blah. I'd like to apologize. He kept saying apologize. And they go, are you trying to say, Mr. Trump, you trying to say apologize? He goes, no, I would never do that. I've been just busy, so I haven't been watching on Saturday Night Live. I got to start watching it again.
Yeah, I don't watch it either. I just watch the clips online. I don't have time to invest. Saturday Night Live is like one of those things where I feel like they're going to hit 50% of the time and miss 50% of the time. I can't do that. So I'll wait for the hits. They're great. I mean, they come out with some great sketches.
It's a very efficient way digesting your art.
That's how I do it, bro. I'm efficient.
All right. Well, we have 10 episodes this season. I got to keep steering it back because last year when I promoted it, I just went on things trying to be funny. And then in the end, they'd be like, oh, by the way, he's got this. You know, I got to make sure I promote it.
Plug it. F is for family on Netflix. And if you don't have Netflix, how dare you? How dare you try to live your life without Netflix? There's everything on it. Kids, I got a new TV. You don't even need something to get on Netflix. Get on Netflix right through the TV. The TV hooks up to Wi-Fi, bam.
You know what kills me is you won't be satisfied with that within 18 months.
You think so?
Because your neighbor will have something else.
I don't know my neighbor.
Oh, you're going to know your neighbor.
I had to meet my neighbor the other day because my daughter's drone flew into her yard. Yeah, we got a drone. It sucks.
How high up does it go?
It goes high. It just doesn't listen to you. It's just, if you spend $150 on a drone, it doesn't listen. You got to spend like $500 and then they listen. The $150 one, it's like it's a vague suggestion. And once it gets more than like a few hundred feet away from you, that fucking thing is not listening anymore. It just sailed right into her tree. So I had to go down and get it.
Amazing video on those things.
Oh, yeah. If you get a good one.
Not wanting to be videoed.
It is fucking weird, man. I mean, there was a town in Colorado that passed a law letting you hunt them. So if you see one in the sky, you're allowed to shoot it down.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like that, too.
I used to have a bit about that when Amazon was going to start delivering packages. I go, that's going to be like down south. It's going to be like skeet shooting with prizes. They're just going to shoot them down. What'd you get?
That is what it's like.
Yeah. Just absolutely fucking shoot those things out of the air. That's one of the... I was over a friend's house. And we were at a pool. And one just... came up and was just hovering over the pool, looking at us like fucking... Probably my wife's there in a bikini and shit. I said, what are you doing? And like I was like, you know, I had my usual overreaction. Like, is this how it's going to be? Is this the future? I will get a fucking gun. I don't give a fuck. I will have a cardboard cut out of me so I can see in the video or some shit. Somehow I was going to get away with it.
Just need a good bird gun, you know? Good 20 gauge. Just shoot it out of the sky. Something that scatters good.
You know what would be great is if you knew whose it was and you could have somebody filming their face when you shot their shit out of the sky. How... Despite their invasion of your own property, how wronged that they would feel.
Well, it's weird that there's no law above your house. Like, if someone flew that into your house, it'd be a problem. If someone drove it into your yard, it'd be a problem. But if they hover over your house...
It's airspace, yeah.
Yeah, it's airspace. That's fucking weird, right? How does that work with, like, say if you wanted to fly over Kim Kardashian's house in a helicopter and take pictures of her? Are you allowed to? How does that work?
Yeah, there's noise ordinances, or like you can only fly so fucking low.
How low? You're a helicopter pilot.
Usually it's like, I wouldn't go lower than 700 feet, especially in Santa Monica. Those people, they hate that airport there, and they want all of those people out of there.
They're killing that airport,
so,
you know?
They have been trying to do that forever.
They are now, though. They're going to turn it into a park.
All right.
Yeah. They just passed it. I think it's 2020 goes under.
Oh.
Yeah, so they have three more years of airport.
We'll see.
Are pissed, though. All those people that live in, like, Marina Del Rey and all those places around there with a lot of cash, and they will park their jet there. They're fucking pissed. The Malibu folks want to fly right in there and just...
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
That was perfect. Well, now I have to go to Van Nuys. Torrance.
Yeah. Van Nuys. It's a rough... You go to Torrance, you're going to be in traffic for 2 hours.
Yeah. No, that's all...
Kind of amazing that they passed that, you know, that those people couldn't figure out a way to bribe their way
keeping
that airport.
But 3 years is a long fucking time. Do you remember in New York City when they first had those videos, you know, advertising in the back of cabs, and everybody's like, these are making me car sick, get these things the fuck out of here. People had such a reaction to it. They went away, and then like a few years later, they just came back. Now everybody loves them. They're fucking gross. Touching that screen, all of that. It's bad enough being in the cab, and you just see the fingerprints. It's bad enough opening and closing the door, but I can't see the fingerprints. Those screens, I don't like them.
Well, it's always loud, too. They're always loud, and they're playing you ads and some entertainment news TV show or something like that.
Yep. I feel like a hypocrite because I do advertising on my podcast, so how mad can I get? But I do draw the line when I go to pump gas. They're like, hey, it's gas TV, blah, 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 and they're just pumping it super loud.
You do ads on your podcast, but you shit in the ads. Like, I heard you doing an ad for MeUndies with the new one where they're doing with the gay pride thing. And you're like, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. It's just like, it's very hard to get, I think, straight guys to get into, like, we're animals. You know what I mean? We don't have the sense of style. Maybe you get a couple of metrosexuals, but yeah, I just felt like that was a great, like, what can we pretend to care about that will get us to sell more underwear? And that was the way to fucking go. I just say things. I don't fucking know. I just felt like that was.
Do you wear them?
You know what it really is? I have two pairs, and they're very Greg Louganis. I'll tell you.
You got little ones?
they're little ones, and I put them on to make my wife laugh, and she did laugh, but she goes, no, I kind of like them. I'm like, these are just too little.
I get the boxer briefs.
Oh, they have boxer briefs there?
That's all I wear. I'm wearing them right now. I swear to God,
I don't
the best
believe you.
Underwear.
I'm joking.
I'll show you.
I thought, you know what? For some reason, I thought you would have like the tearaway fight ones. Oh, the polka dots. That's great. That looks like the yogurt shit that
sexy.
They have.
yogurt shit.
Whatever that.
Sprinkles.
TCBY.
Sprinkles in your menchies.
Frozen. Froyo. All right. Have I kept you here long enough? I think I have. There's going to be traffic.
You got to get out of here?
I don't know. I just wasn't sure. If the point you're showing me your underwear, I think we've kind of, fucking
panic
covered
sets
it.
In.
Yeah, we've kind of covered it. If there's anything else you want to bring up, I'll. What have you shot lately?
Animal wise, I shot a pig a couple months ago.
Oh well, shit. Fuck the animals. What else did you shoot?
No, just animals.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought there was something else.
No,
there.
No.
I thought you were inching towards Bert Kreischer.
I'll give you some pig meat. Damn, I don't have it here.
You
shit.
Motherfucker! I always get the elk.
I give you elk and pig.
I still have the elk left over from the last
time.
Do
you?
Yeah.
Okay. I have plenty of elk, but...
I want the wild boar.
I'll give you like a quarter, like a fucking real like leg, like a boar leg.
Yeah, dude.
A pig leg.
I live in a house, man. I don't have the fucking serial killer meat freezer that I know that you have.
You just got to tell me when you're going to cook, and I'll give it to you the day you cook it.
All right.
No. That's not going to happen.
No.
That was one of those. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I was just thinking I'll go on YouTube and fill out. I'll go to fucking how to cook a pig leg.
Yeah, we just got to slow cook it. Just slow cook. You could brine it first. I like to brine things. You know, you ever use those Yeti coolers? You know what a Yeti cooler is? It's like a super.
It's really cold.
It's a very insulated cooler. Like you could put ice in it and leave it outside in the sun, and 5 days later it'll still have ice.
Okay.
So you take one of those. Put some ice in it and some sort of a bucket. Fill the bucket up with salt water
and juniper
and sugar.
Beads.
Yeah, a bunch of shit in there, garlic, stuff like that. And then brine the meat and make it extra tender and
juicy.
And
ask your wife if she's a witch.
What?
And then it's just like brining is just such an old school thing. Tie somebody to a stake, and then at that point
you know what I heard? They weren't really burning witches at the stake. That was bullshit. They would drown them. I'm like, well, that's just as terrifying. Why?
Nah,
they...
you got to go with drowning.
Yeah?
Got to go with drowning.
Why's that?
Oh, dude, this is for a fucking minute. That's it. You just take a big inhale.
I think what they would do is if they would figure if you didn't drown, you were definitely a witch. And if you drowned, they fucked up.
They were like, my bad. Sorry.
Witches.
Well, somebody's doing something because there's a lot of weird shit going on. You know, how do you get out of that one?
Isn't that amazing, though, that that's what they used to think? They used to think that someone was doing witchcraft when things would go wrong.
I don't think that's amazing because I think that's that kind of thought has just slid into other shit that people think, you know?
Do you know what the root of it was in the Salem witch trials? It was they got a late frost and their bread. Like, apparently when you get a late frost and wheat, you can get some weird mold that grows on the wheat. And this wheat was growing this type of mold called ergot. And ergot has the same properties as LSD. So these people were eating the bread and tripping their fucking balls off. And they thought that...
Wearing those
people...
dumb hats.
Wearing those hats.
And they even really freak you with the belt buckle on your hat.
How about the belt buckle on your shoes? Remember, we used to have those stupid buckles on their shoes, too?
I'm sorry. I did the... Go. I did the comic thing. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Do
so
it.
Anyway, so they're tripping on this shit. And they...
So they thought that these people were bewitched. They thought they were getting witched. They were getting hexed by witches. And so they had these people that they didn't trust, and they were freaking out because they were on acid. And that's like one of the primary theories. Isn't that crazy?
Can you imagine being on acid in the 1700s? How much you'd be freaking out?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no information on it. I thought some of the original people, whatever you're supposed to call them now.
Indigenous people?
You're not supposed to say that.
Natives?
I fucking said that
originals.
In Canada and somebody, the OGs.
In Canada, I think they call them original First Nation.
That's First Nation.
Yeah. They have a different name for them in Canada.
First responders.
They got weird rules in Canada. Do you know, they can go out at night with flashlights and shoot deer and moose. They flash flashlights on them and all year round. They don't have any rules. They have that in America, too. Like, they don't have, like, game laws for the Native American reservation areas. Like, they can just
shoot elk. I thought you were talking about cops.
No.
With the flashlights. I'm actually doing a gig for the cops tomorrow.
Are you? What are you doing? Yeah.
Just something for the California Highway Patrol.
Where? It's a good move.
I don't know. Yeah, you can never know enough cops.
Never know.
Never know enough cops. You have no idea when you're going to snap and you're going to need a cop to show up. Oh, Joe.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Come on. You're not hurt that bad, buddy.
Walk it off.
Walk it off. You'll be fine. I think they're all the motorcycle guys. I want to talk. I was hoping I was going to meet some of the helicopter pilots because those fucking, they fly at like 300 feet. The balls those guys
do
have.
Do they really?
Yeah, they're right over people's houses and they got to sit there in a fucking circle. Yeah. For like an hour. Well, I get nauseous looking at it.
First move to L.A., this girl I was dating. Right outside of her house, someone broke into someone's house, and they had the helicopter flying over the head. It was fucking creepy. Like, you look outside the window, you'd see the spotlight moving across the city street.
Yeah. I've never seen that going down to the Improv. The building still exists. If you park just east of Crescent Heights, there's a building, and on the second floor, they have ceiling-to-floor windows, and... Somebody broke in there, and they had like the helicopter spotlight was on it. And I watched two cops, like a movie, walking down that hallway with their guns drawn, slowly walking in, just sitting there, like, "What the fuck is this?"
Wow.
Yeah, I was like probably like 4 months into moving here.
The craziest shit I ever saw with cops live was on TV during the North Hollywood shootout. Were you in L.A. back then?
I was in Vegas. But I was living in L.A. Yeah, those guys that had the head-to-toe body armor.
Yeah, they had head-to-toe body armor, trunks filled with guns. They were all steroided up, out of their fucking mind crazy, probably on meth, and just gunning
some
down
of that
cops.
Wheat, right? Tripping.
Ate some of that ergot.
Yep.
That was crazy. That was crazy. We were on news radio. It was we're in the lunchroom, like our break room, watching it on TV going, what in the fuck? Just they were live shooting from there.
Dude, I would have retired the next day as a cop. 100%. I would have been like, is this what the future is? And I mean, you're going to give me this little fucking pea shooter? Like, this is what I'm supposed to do? I'm done.
Yeah. A lot of them did, I'm sure.
That would have been it. When they were fucking crouched behind that car and that guy, remember that guy spraying the...
Yeah.
You know, I love how people are going like, oh, then they went up and shot the guy who was clearly hurt there. I mean...
Yeah, they wouldn't pull him away. They let him bleed out. He got shot under the vest. He got, like, took one under the vest in the gut. and they let them bleed out. People were complaining.
Good.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. That's what you get. My mother would have said, well, you shouldn't have shot at the police.
That's what you get.
That's what you get. You know, now you learn. Maybe that's reincarnation. You'll learn next time.
You're supposed to be above.
I got more kids.
Above that, if you're a peace officer for whatever reason.
No, that's stupid.
I agree.
That's like an athlete's when someone says fucking crazy shit to your face. You're supposed to be above that? No.
Yeah.
Punch him right in the... In a perfect world. In a perfect world.
Some woman on Twitter
Some
lady on Twitter was harassing Donald Trump, and Donald Trump blocked her, which is hilarious. So she showed that Donald Trump blocked her, and then she said she's contacting a lawyer. And she said that the president shouldn't be able to block her. And everybody's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then people started harassing her, so she started blocking people. And they're like, listen, you fucking crazy bitch. This is what's called a hypocrite. Like,
dude,
you can't
I'm just
do
picturing
that.
Him in the White House. You know when you scroll with both your thumbs just sitting there and typing? Like,
getting mad.
This is what he's doing?
Blocking people on Twitter. Yeah, he blocks people. It's hilarious. You know what else he does? He watches 5 hours of TV a day. How the fuck does he have time? I don't have time to watch 5 hours of TV a day.
Successful
I'm not the president.
People know how to delegate. That's what he's doing.
He's delegating his time
to the vice president. I bet he looks at him like he's his ward and just, you know, military codes are over there. And just, I mean, the nuclear
codes. I have to watch Hannity.
Yeah.
Hannity's still on our team.
Talking about me is bad. I don't know. I couldn't handle that fucking job. Dude, Howard Stern had the funniest fucking take on him. On Donald Trump was saying, like, why the fuck would you take that job at your age?
Yeah.
He goes, you got like 8 good summers left. He goes, you're going to spend that taking all this shit. He just kept going back to that. You got 8 summers left. He kept yelling.
That's a good take on
it. Dude, it was fucking hilarious. And it was perfect. Yeah, why would you do that at the end of the night? You're a fucking billionaire. Just go enjoy your money.
Ego. You could do it all. You could do it all, Burr. I could be the fucking president.
Is that because they trashed him at the brunch?
100%. He was like, fuck you. I'll show you. Because they mocked him, made fun of him. Because that was during the birther days.
And they put him right in the middle of the room.
Yep.
Do you know every roast, there's always that raw meat guy, and you don't realize you're that guy until all of a sudden the roast starts. It's just like, oh, fuck, I'm the guy. I'm the guy for when everybody runs out of jokes for the guy that they're hosting, that they're roasting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, he was, you know, and they said one thing to him that was hilarious, like, but I'm one thing that you'll never be, and that's the president of the United States. That was one of the things that Obama said.
Yeah, and he shut them all, and he had to fucking hand over the keys to the House. I mean, that had to have been
ruthless.
Oh, my God.
He probably never saw it coming. There's no way. No way this guy's going to run. No way this guy's going to win.
No, and in a weird way, it was sort of like a reverse, like, bully movie, because it was the liberals doing it to him, and they were totally bullying the guy.
100%, yeah.
But he was bullying Obama with the whole fucking thing.
Birther thing,
yeah. The birther thing, right? So, I don't know.
They're still going after that birther shit. I saw something yesterday on some website that was showing how they have all these different confirmed sources that are showing that the Obama birth certificate was fake, and... I hope it was fake.
So what do you undo his presidency? It already happened.
What can you do? But I hope it was fake. I hope he scammed the country.
Listen, the fucking the NBA had that mobbed up ref, and he said that he fucked the Warriors the Kings out of that series against the Lakers. No one's going to take the fucking Lakers title away for
what
that
happened?
Year.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah.
What is it?
He was a referee who was fucking fixing games.
No.
Yep.
Really?
That's how much you don't watch sports.
I don't watch sports
no,
at all.
No, it was fixed.
Tim Donaghy, 100% of NBA refs gamble. What? What? That's
no,
crazy.
But he's also like, he's in jail now. He's just trying to say shit. But like, I don't.
This is the guy that was the ref that was in jail?
Yeah, but like he.
Is that him right there?
Yeah, he fixed game. He used to say from in jail, he goes, you tell me who's reffing the game and I'll tell you who wins.
Wow, he spent 15 months in prison after pleading guilty to 2 charges of the case. He's out free. How much did you think he made? He joined Colin Cowherd Wednesday afternoon, had a fascinating answer when asked what percentage. He said 100. Wow.
No, that's not true. No, that's just a fucking jailbird talking.
I used to gamble on UFC fights way back in the early days when I first started working for them. I was like, who gives a shit? I can't really affect the outcome. So, like, many, many years ago, Like I would, right. they'd bring in these guys, like they'd bring in some guy from like Brazil that I knew about, and I would look at the line and I'd be like, you guys are out of your fucking mind. This guy should be like a 10-to-1 favorite, and you got him an underdog. I'm like, ooh, I'm putting some money on that, and I'd put some money on it. But then after a while, I was like, this is probably not smart. You know, I don't think it's illegal because I can't.
It's not good for the company.
No, it's also not good for me if I come off as biased anyway. You know, I've been accused of being a biased commentator anyway. Even worse.
He didn't tap out. Come on. Yeah. Keep it going.
Come on. Yeah. But that's a different kind of thing, though. Gambling when you're a referee is a big deal.
Yeah. And that's a game that's easily fixed.
How do they fix it? What do they do?
Because you can take stars out of the game by giving them fouls.
Oh, is that what they did?
Yeah.
So what did this guy, mobbed up guy, do?
You just sit people down. It's just like, if you're the best player on the team in the first quarter, I give you two quick fouls. I'm not going to see you again until the second quarter. And I've never fixed a fucking game, but I mean, I give you another one in the second quarter. I don't see you till the next half. And at some point, you're going to get mad. If I keep calling bullshit fouls, I might get you on a technical foul. That saves me a ticky-tack foul. And then that counts towards your fouls. And then two technicals, you're out of the game. You're ejected.
So was it obvious that this guy was doing fouls? That he was like,
I thought it was obvious
fouls?
That the NBA was kind of fixed for a while. Like, I was sitting going like, yeah, I went to a game one time, the Celtics versus Utah Jazz, and I'm watching the fucking game, and like, just like, the game starts, they're letting them play, and then they're calling it tight, and then they're letting them play, then they're calling it tight. And it's like, there was never an ebb and flow in how they were calling the game. It's like an umpire. You know, you see in the first inning, the guy will step out of the box going, okay, that's a strike tonight? Okay, cool. Just finding out where your strike zone is. But like an umpire, if you start changing the strike zone, kind of changing sports on you here. Like,
right.
It's like people are going to know, like, what the fuck's going on? You got to be consistent. So like with NBA refs, NBA games, you would watch and it's just like, oh, they're calling it close tonight. Oh, he's letting the boys play. And like that was the game. They wouldn't just keep. Obviously, if it got really out of hand, they would tighten down. But I never saw a game where it was just like you're pulling back on the range, you're letting them run, you're pulling back, you're letting them run. And it just made me feel like they were shaving points or something. I remember for years I said the game was fixed. And everybody said I was out of my fucking mind. And then they find a guy who's all mobbed up. And I go, damn, vindication. And they go, oh, it's just one guy.
Now, when you say mobbed up, like how was he mobbed up? What was the issue with that guy?
It's just an expression. I don't want to get in trouble with anybody. But he was basically working for other people that were part of a gambling that took, you know, bookies or whatever.
Right. And he did something to make sure that the game leaned in that direction.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't totally fix it.
So if a team was favored by 8 and they want him to win by 8, he'd make sure it happened. Or probably, it's probably easier to make sure they didn't by fucking over their offense. And then they would just, you know, they try to get money. Like, look, if you're a legit bookie, all you're trying to do is get an even amount of money on each side.
Right.
Okay? Because with the combination of people teasing and plus the juice and all of that, you're going to end up on top. You don't want a bunch of money all on one side and losing your fucking shirt. So what these guys would do is you get greedy after a while. It's like, I'm sick of this ticky-tack shit. Let's go for a big fucking score. They wouldn't do it every game. They just, every once in a while, be like, all right, listen, here's a game, probably, you know, I don't know. I've never fixed a fucking game. I'm just guessing how they would go about doing it. But fix this one. All right, make sure these guys don't win by 8.
So did this guy admit that he fixed it?
Yeah, oh yeah, he went to jail.
But he went to jail for gambling on it, right? But
did he went to jail for fixing it.
For fixing it. So what did he say? He said like he made fouls that weren't really fouls?
Well, yeah, whatever he had to do.
This is what his attorney submitted, saying the manipulation that happened during one game.
Okay, so it was officiating a playoff series between Team 5 and Team 6 in May of 2002. It was a 6th game of a 7-game series. And a Team 5 victory that night would have ended the series. However, Tim learned from referee A that referees A and F wanted to extend the series to 7 games. Tim knew referees A and F to be company men, in quotes, always acting in the interest of the NBA. And that night, it was in the NBA's interest to add another game. So the NBA wanted to fix it.
Yeah, for
Whoa,
money.
Oh, the NBA fixed it. Referees A and F heavily favored Team 6. Personal fouls resulting in obviously injured players were ignored, even when they occurred in full view of the referees. Conversely, the referees called made-up fouls on Team 5.
Look up the highlights of the Lakers Kings game. It was ridiculous, the fouls that they were calling. But that's my thing, is when they said it was just one guy, it's like, how long could you be on an officiating crew while one of your guys is dirty? before you'd realize, like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah. Well, what about the guys that were betting on the other team? I'd want to kill that fucking referee. Can you imagine if you saw him call fouls that weren't really fouls and you knew what was going on? You knew your money was going out the window?
But I think they're really susceptible to it because, like, the amount of money that NBA players make is fucking insane.
Right.
They make, like, you know, some of the contracts that they have coming up. And there's so few guys on the team. And there's, like, every year the draft, there's, like, two rounds in the draft. Like, fucking NFL goes on forever. There's 40-something guys on a team in the NFL. There's 20-something in baseball, 20-something in the NHL. And I think basketball, it's no more than 11 or 12 guys. So it's a very small group of people. And the income that they're generating, like their revenue share, I don't know. That's all like super sports nerd shit. Like, I don't know how that works. But some of the contracts that some of these guys have been signing, like, they can afford to fucking pay that guy that. So now you're a ref and you're running with your fucking black aerobic Reebok sneakers up and down the court, you know,
the Velcro closures.
Yes. And you're seeing the cars these guys are getting in and all the women hanging out. And you're on the stage, too. You're running up and down. No one gives a fuck about you. And I don't know what the pension is for the NBA. But like, if I was in the NBA, if I was running, I'd be like, we got to fucking triple these guys' salary.
Is this the salaries of the players or the referees?
NBA players' salaries for right now.
What about the referees, though?
Oh,
so look at that.
Way less.
$35 million a year for LeBron.
That's just what he makes to play hoop.
Right. Not about
but
his
like
sneakers.
But most of their sneaker contracts are like more than what they make. It's fucking nuts. It's nuts.
It's a lot of cash.
Hey, good for them. I'm not like saying they should make the money. Obviously, if people are putting it out there, earning it for them. But like, can you find out what a ref makes?
Do you know who Mike Conley is?
Yeah.
That's what's hilarious. I only know like the biggest guys. Like that Mike Conley. Some of them go, ooh, that's Mike Conley. Like, who the fuck's that guy?
I don't know who that is either.
Guy made $30 million last year.
He's the highest paid player in the NBA. It's because of contract.
There's
he signed
a guy named Mike Conley?
Yeah, he's the starting point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's
but it's this amount of time. Like his contract came up at the time last year, and the when the rest of the guys are going to get more this coming year and the following year, the TV contracts have gone up, and there's a percentage they're going up each year based off of the TV rights, and that's why it.
I watched almost every Celtic game last year. I never heard Mike Conley. That sounds like a fucking politician.
He went to Ohio State same year as Greg Oden, who was that big bust, and he was his point guard.
Is he still playing in China or no?
No, he's actually Ohio State assistant coach right now. He went back to school for
playing in China. That's when it gets weird, right? You got to go overseas to Europe. You're playing for $100,000 a year. And you're like, oof.
I don't know. Sometimes if you're famous enough, they'll give you a little more. I don't know how that works either. I don't know how a lot of shit works. I just know I have a show coming out called F is for Family. That's why I'm
family.
Here. The average salary of the NBA rep is from $150,000 to $550,000.
That's a big spread. What about the guy who's making the extra four? How's he getting extra four? Average salaries have spiked considerably since 1983, when NBA officials made between $18,000 and $78,000 each season. $550,000 is not bad. That's a lot of scratch. So you'd have to give them enough money where they don't feel tempted to cheat. Right?
Yeah. That's the problem with politicians.
Right.
You make $550,000 a year, you're making $50,000 a year more than the president. So you're kind of like, those guys are like set up to be like, here's a job that costs $100 million to get, and you're going to get paid $500,000. So you're just setting them up to have to cut deals with people.
What do you think is going to happen with Trump?
I have no idea. I don't even know the highest paid guy in the NBA. I have no
idea. If you had a guess, though, do you think he's going to last?
Yes.
You don't think he's going to go to jail in the middle of
no.
this? No.
No? No. I watched Clinton get impeached. He stayed.
Right. But Clinton got impeached for just not telling the truth about an affair.
Nixon should have stayed.
You think so?
He should have just stayed and just been like, you know,
all right, I booked that room. I apologize to the American people.
And that's it.
I think the stress is too much for them, though. When the whole world comes after him like that, everywhere you look, every newspaper.
I think he'll be fine. He's fucking watching 5 hours of TV and he's on Twitter.
Blocking people.
I mean, what else is he eating? A fucking peanut butter and fluff another sandwich? I mean, he's living like a fucking kid.
Well, it's hard to see. When you read articles about him, it's hard to know who's writing the article and why they're writing it. Right? Like, are they writing this article because they really believe that he's gaining weight and he's solemn and he's down in the dumps? Or are they trying to just put that out there? Like, how the fuck do they know he's down in the dumps?
They're trying to sell papers.
How do they know he's sullen and comes home upset and he's gaining weight? He does seem like he's gaining weight, though. Seems like he's getting a little fat. A little depression.
Well, I mean, there's obviously most of the people, it seems, in the media fucking hate the guy, so they're going to be just, he's just.
Yeah. But that's how you chip away at you, right? Start talking about how you're coming home and you're depressed and you're despondent. You're not listening to anybody.
Yeah, how do they know that?
How do they know that?
Our sources
exactly.
say.
How do they know that?
Our sources say negative things about the guys we don't like.
Well, you were talking about Tiger Woods on your podcast. I was listening to it on the way over here, and I totally agree with you. You're saying, like, when Tiger's world fell apart, like, how the fuck do you know? Like, what do you, did you talk to him? Like, you don't know him.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have a conversation
with him. I'm sure
that
was a brutal couple of years, yeah. But it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And in 10 years, he hasn't fucked up. Other than this DUI. So, I mean, yeah, he fucked up, but, hey, you know,
yeah,
I got busted
DUI,
for that shit in 89, so I'm going to judge him.
Right. The DUI, apparently he's on some back medication. That's what it is. He mixed his medication. That's what he's saying. But they said he smelled like booze. But I don't know if that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, he should just take the hit. Just
I
be like, you know, I fucked up. I was hanging with the fellas and blah, blah, blah. I'm not condoning right. what the guy did, but I'm not going to sit there and judge the guy and be like, I was watching some guy and he was trying to say that, you know, he let us down. He sold himself as a family man. It's like you built that whole fucking narrative.
Yeah.
You built that whole narrative. I just watched him play golf. All I ever want to do when I watch golf is watch those guys fucking crush it. Like, I love John Daly. And I love that he's like, fuck you. I like drinking. He just kept drinking.
He was
smoking
fat,
cigarettes.
Smoking
yeah.
cigarettes. Big yeah. gut.
And he would hit it a fucking mile. And I loved watching it.
Well, Tiger always had a very bizarre style, apparently. I don't play golf, but apparently people that I've talked to that explained to me the way he would hit the ball, like it's not the way they teach you to do it, but he could do it so well that way. But he would put like ridiculous amounts of torque.
Yes, on his body. And they said from the beginning that his body was going to break down if he keeps doing that. There was a period where he adjusted his swing and he stopped winning, and then he came back again. And I just think that what they said, there was a bunch of guys. Earl Campbell, they said if he keeps running like that, he's wide open, he's going to have problems. Bobby Orr, the way he played hockey, if you throw yourself around, you really beat the shit out of your body, like that happens. And it just coincided with his personal life falling apart. So everybody goes, oh, that's the reason why, you know, somebody wins. That's the reason why somebody loses. Like, look, I'm not saying you don't go into a couple-year funk if you...
Yeah.
Your life falls apart in the personal area, but it's just like the rest of that shit, you know, that was, I mean, that's just a bunch of hype. Like
for him, it's like a double dump though. You know, I mean, the thing happens personally with his personal life and it happens publicly where everybody gets to see it. And then on top of that, his body's falling apart at the same
yeah.
time.
No matter
so
what
goes,
he did.
Yeah. No matter what
he went
did.
To church every fucking week, he was going to fuck up his back and his knees. And they did, but then they're trying to equate it to, you know, whatever the... It's like, what yeah. he did was none of my business. It's none of my fucking business. I don't want to know about it. I hate knowing about... You know, I feel bad if somebody... like if their marriage falls apart. I feel bad if they get busted for drinking drop. You know? I mean, it happens. If you fucked up and it's your fault, you should get punched. But, like, the cops are handling it. They arrested him. The courts will handle it. Do I need to pile on and start wagging my fucking hypocritical no. finger at him? My
well,
pasty, freckled?
You don't have to because you're a comedian and you're funny and your take on things can be have some compassion, look at it for what it is, make fun, poke at it. But when you're one of those fucking straight up sports commentator guys, you don't have a whole lot of wiggle room as far as what you could say and what you don't say. And you got to go right down the middle and attack like,
go
the
Disney.
Principles. Yeah, go Disney. Yeah.
I mean, what does it say about the fabric?
What about his ethics?
Of our community.
You know, the morals of our country.
This creates a culture.
Look at this. Tiger Woods is lost in every literal and figurative way. By Ian O'Connor, ESPN Sports Writer. No,
that guy...
The Tiger Woods you met in Jupiter, Florida, police report is not the Tiger Woods presented to you by Tiger, his sponsors, and his reps. That Woods.
So here's the thing. What this is fucking ESPN. Those guys on TV, what they present is not who the fuck they are.
Yeah. Look at this. I mean, it's so ridiculous. They're saying that Woods is a new and improved human being since his extramarital sex scandal from hell, a better father and friend with or without a golf in his life. How do you fucking know
I
what
actually
happened?
Have sympathy for the guy who wrote this.
Because he got it.
Because he
something.
Has to write it. Yeah. You know, Connor has to sit down and be like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. How am I going to keep being a senior writer unless I act like this shit actually bothers me?
You have to write something inflammatory. You have to write something salacious. You gotta get people to click. You gotta get a lot of clickbait.
Why can't this fat fuck shoot off his fireworks in his
He's
own
dead.
Country?
That fat
fuck.
Wait,
his son. We do it all the time. We fucking light shit off in the ocean, kill all this fish that people could have ate.
Killed whales.
Yeah, kill fucking whales with tests. Yeah, and then this fucking guy shoots off a rocket, and everybody's like, whoa, whoa, hey, what are you doing?
Well, he's threatening us, Bill.
Huh?
He's threatening America.
Dude, I you know, I...
He's worried that we're coming after him.
I love a shit talker.
Do you?
We probably are.
Oh, well, we are, for sure. With Trump?
I pitched this on somebody else's podcast. What they should do is they should eliminate war. And then what it is your leaders go into the octagon. They're not allowed to work out or anything.
not allowed to work out.
No, they go in the fucking octagon. So you get to see, like right now, who's your number one world leader? I got to go.
Putin.
Putin, yeah.
100%. Yeah, he's a judo black belt.
Is he?
Yeah.
He looks like he'd fucking headbutt
yeah.
you.
Yeah, he's a judo black belt. He'll fuck up every other world leader. 100%.
Just pictured him choking out Trump would be 100%. Hilarious.
He would kill Trump. He would trip him, throw him to the ground.
Can you
kick
imagine
him in
the sound of his foot hitting the side of this guy's son's belly? Just a nice fucking liver shot would be the funniest shit ever. And everybody sits there and like whatever the dispute is.
Yeah.
This is our territory. This is your territory. It's just solved with world leader mixed martial arts. You go and you can do whatever you want. It'd be like the early days of that shit where the guy came in with the one boxing glove. Like Trump could still wear his tie. Walking in with like the little tight shorts on. And he could keep wingtip shoes on if you want to keep. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do within reason. I don't want this to be too violent. But they just have to fucking... Oh, dude, it'd be hilarious. Because first of all, that fucking... Doesn't the son have to wear glasses too in the Kim Jong-il part two, the sequel?
The son?
Caddyshack 2, yeah.
Does he wear glasses?
Yeah, so he'd have to come in with the Kareem goggles, you know, prescription level.
Like a basketball player?
If they make those in North Korea. You know what I mean?
You have to get them from China. China will send them to him. They're friends.
Just solve it that way. Dude, did you have your laptop custom painted? That looks like a better color than mine.
No, the new ones come in two colors. They come in a dark gray or a light gray.
Oh, that's a dark gray one.
Yeah.
I have to throw mine out. I'm going to personally put mine in the ocean.
Do you have the brand new one that gives
the fingerprint
thing?
Personally throwing mine in the ocean.
Don't do that.
To kill some sea life.
Give it to poor kids.
And what do? See all the porn I used to watch? Yeah. And then they fucking
start shooting missles off.
All right, dude.
Bill Burr, get out of here before the travel
gets
bad.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, brother.
Thank you for the offer of the pig leg. I'll take that off you next time.
F all right. Is for family.
Today.
It's one of the funniest fucking shows you will ever watch in your life. It's on Netflix right now. Go binge. Binge, you freaks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was worth it. That was it.